The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Jaylen Brown throwing it down to give Boston control of the Eastern Conference Finals. The question now, is it all over? Plus, big news from the NFL. Colin Kaepernick gets a tryout with the Raiders. Is this the first step towards an unprecedented comeback? And Brady's Bucks are talking Super Bowl or bust, but can they deliver if Tom Brady doesn't have his favorite security blanket? Hey, everybody, Hannah Storm in for Greeny. We have Pat Bev in the house. He is back. Yes, giving the people what they want. Alan Hahn is here. He's going to hold down the fort. I mean, look at this, like, next level, by the way, fashion. I mean, we're all just living in your world, Pat Bev.
I can't be over here with the suits on. That's not my swag.
Yet. That's right.
I'm comfortable. That's all put together.
Cozy.
Before this day is over, I will recruit Pat Bev to the Knicks.
There you go.
Right or wrong, all those years ago.
That's 10 years too late.
But we have the always fashionable Lewis Riddick. He sets the stage for that Teddy Bruschi. And, of course, the great Vince Carter. So let's break it down. Game of the night. Alan, step in here with the series tied at 2-2 Wednesday night. Jimmy Butler, we're going to watch him miss a three, and that was the theme for them all night long. But he gets his own rebound, puts it up, misses again, but Bam is there with a putback.
Yeah, Bam showing up in that moment, but not really much in the playoffs for Jimmy Butler and the Heat. But still, that, as you mentioned, missed threes, huge theme in this game.
Yeah, and the Celtics were really sloppy early on. They had 10 turnovers in the first half.
This has been a microcosm of this series. It's been ugly. It's been sloppy. There's been bodies on the floor, but second half is where the Celtics took over.
Oh, man, that Miami backcourt struggled so bad. Struce missing the three. They missed 38 three-pointers. And here's Al Horford. So good to have him back.
Old man winner. You know, they got him for Kemba Walker in a first-round pick. Well worth it.
Indeed they did. Here goes Jason Tatum. Took him a while to heat up. That shoulder was bothering him a bit. Now Boston up six. Victor Oladipo challenged by Robert Williams at the rim. And the Celtics take it the other way.
And bodies on the floor once again. Jason Tatum just took over in this game. And everyone fed off his energy, including Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Brown really struggled in the first half. Had a bunch of turnovers himself, but drops the bucket there. They finished the third quarter on a 10-0 run, and now they're up by a dozen. See Al Horford finding Tatum in the corner, the three, Celtics by 15, and then Tatum backing down. Struce, poor Struce, had a tough night. 22 points, 12 rebounds, 9 dimes. Celtics by 17, and here goes Brown.
Look out.
Throwing it down. Oh! Wow.
Which one was better, Pat Bev? This one or Andrew Wiggins on Luka?
I like the Wiggins one, but I'm fouling him, though. Put him right on the
post back. Game.
Sure.
You know, we can't think that it's over with. That, you know, we need to go back home like we down 3-2. With that sense of urgency, like, that we, it's a must-win game. You know, not relaxing because we up. Obviously enjoying this one, but not being satisfied, knowing that we still got things to clean up. We still need to play better. And, you know, the job's just not finished yet.
Yeah, well, they know that better than anybody. They came back from 3-2 earlier in these playoffs. Boston, though, in an ideal spot historically in playoff history. The teams that win Game 5 in a series tied at 2-2 go on to win that series 82% of the time. So, gentlemen, how did the Celtics turn that thing around last night?
Man, they are attacking these guys offensively. I had the Heat winning before. I'm way off. Boston.
You had the Heat winning in how many?
I don't even know about all that. I just had the Heat winning the series. But what Boston is doing to the guards right now, they're attacking them. They're getting in them. Boston is rebounding way better than them. They're just playing with a little bit more swagger, a little bit more edge. They're keeping them in 1-3 pick and rolls, 1-2 pick and rolls, getting the matchup they want and exploiting that Miami defense for sure.
It's funny because Eric Spoelstra said, you know, when our shots weren't dropping, then our defense started to drop off as well. But how much did the Celtics have to do with that Miami poor shooting?
Oh, it certainly is a big part of it because it's all about contesting those shots and contesting threes. Second half, they were 0 for 17 on the contested threes. It's just it's the defense that has been a big part of this, and it demoralizes you. If you aren't making shots and at a rate where the Heat weren't making shots painfully, they were the number one three-point shooting team in the NBA this season, and they have shot under 30% in the series. Like, they just haven't been able to knock down threes. It does demoralize you. I mean, I imagine you can relate with it, Pat. It's the idea of having to play hard defensively against a really good offensive team is not easy when in the back of your mind, if you're Max Strus or Kyle Lowry or whoever, in the back of your head, you're going, how many have I missed now? I got to make another shot. It messes with your head, and it affects your energy, but injuries are a big part of this, too. The wheels are falling off Miami as far as Jimmy Butler's injury. Tyler Hero's not even playing. Yeah. You can see Kyle Lowry's not even close to 100%.
Man, that backcourt was
it's
tough,
just
tough
wheels
to watch.
Are coming off this team right now.
All right, Vince, what impressed you about the Celtics?
It was their defense. Like the panel said, it was their defense and their aggressiveness. And that was the thing I was looking for from Jason Tatum first and foremost in this game is, will he be in attack mode early? Yes, they didn't have a great first half, but they did. The Boston Celtics did to the Miami Heat what the Miami Heat did to them in the third quarter. And that was hit first early and often in the third quarter. 32 points scored to their 16, and they took off from there. And one thing I like what Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown did, they did not settle. You know, we talk about getting downhill. Getting downhill all the time doesn't mean getting to the layup, but getting to your spot, getting to a pull-up, and not just settling for those contested three-point shots all the time or contested jump shots. And they did not do that, and that's why they won this game.
All right, I want you to know that somebody at this set is really doing their homework because Pat Bev is, like, poring over the stat sheet. So while you absorbed that, if we're talking about Heat culture, I know that you picked the Heat, and you made the point, Alan, in our meeting earlier this morning, that some people are going to take that Heat culture to task. They're going to say, look, here's where you are. All these injured players, you guys don't rest. No. You play hard, maybe too hard. Mm-hmm. What say you to that?
I think it would be unfair to say that because I think Heat culture and, you know, the idea of Heat culture, but what they represent is a good thing for the NBA. The idea of playing hard, the idea of being in the best shape of your life, as Eric Spoelstra said, it ain't for everybody, and that's a fact. Some guys go there and they're like, nah, I can't, I'm not about this life. But I think it's actually a representative really good for the league. It's not about the culture, it's about what I had mentioned. They were a great three-point shooting team, number one in the league this year. They didn't take a ton, they were middle of the pack as far as attempts. But the fact that they made the most of those threes, it helped them offensively because they are a great defensive team. But they are ice cold in this series, and that has been a major impact to them. It's not the culture. It's the injuries and the fact that legs feed the wolf, Herb Brooks once said, and they don't have legs. You can see all the short shots.
Yeah. You agree, Pat? Or
Definitely agree with that. For Kyle Lowry, you know, just to not play and jump in the Eastern Conference Finals, so tough. To guard these guys, the Tatum guys, they're putting them in pick and roll left and right. They're putting Strus in pick and roll left and right. Then coming down, and like you said, no legs and not able to capitalize on shots on the other end.
But, you picked these guys to win the series,
yeah,
so where's this gone south? Who do you blame if you had to pin the blame on?
Oh, we always got
to
blame somebody.
We got to blame somebody.
All right, come on, Pat.
Let's
assignment number
injuries.
One.
Okay,
let's
blame health to start.
Injuries.
That's blame
fair.
Health.
Yeah.
We can't really do anything about health, but I'm going to blame health. But I'm going to blame the ability to move your feet defensively.
Okay.
I have to blame that. And, the guards from Miami, they got to pick it up. If they don't, they're going to be with me over here.
All right, Vince, maybe. I don't know. I think you got a pretty firm hold on that seat right now. Vince, you get the last word here.
I agree with the panel. I think both are spot on. You cannot blame the culture because if that was the case, they would not have been a good team historically for a good little while because players or star players wouldn't want to be there for one. For two, I just think injuries has really played a factor on there. And one thing, and it's not blame, it's just putting, you know, Bam Adebayo needing to step up and be that guy because of the injuries. And throughout the season, it's been, you know, Tyler Hero. It's been Jimmy Butler. It's been a core guys, core group of guys. So it's unfortunate that Jimmy Butler, you know, has been injured. Kyle Lowry, I think, is extremely important to this team on both ends of the floor. In his health, he can't get out there and really run the offense or give them the scoring punch that they need as well. So, you know, the Heat culture has always been about expectation. What's expected of you, about you're getting your body right so you can sustain, you know, being the best for 82 games in the playoffs.
I know who to blame. I just figured it out. The Celtics. Can we give them credit?
There you go. Yeah.
They are
right.
packing
like
the paint.
That.
They
I
are
like
a great
that.
Defensive
yeah.
team. They're yep. much longer and bigger than them. They You're are right. supposed to
okay.
win this
You're
year.
Right.
All right. Joel Embiid has something really interesting to say about that series. That is coming up, though. But first, we got to show you the thriller of the night from hockey. The Colorado Avalanche back at home against the Blues for Game 5. Now, under 5 minutes left in the game, the Blues had trailed 3-0. Now they're trailing 3-2, and Justin Faulk gets the rebound, puts it in for his first goal of the playoffs at the perfect time, and the Blues tie it at 3. 2 minutes later, Nathan McKinnon, what a game he had. Taking it coast to coast.
Oh,
top shelf. First player in Avalanche history to score a hat trick in a potential series clinching game. Less than a minute left. Robert Thomas putting it in. The Blues tie it, and the game goes into overtime. Just 3.5 minutes into the OT. They get a game winner. And here is how it sounded.
Here's Bozak. Lines and shoots. He scores! Tyler Bozak in overtime has forced game 6 of the series.
Oh, it's the veteran Bozak coming up big in the big moment. It's always someone you don't expect. And what a game as the Blues stay alive, winning 5-4 and forcing that game 6. We'll have game 5 of the Eastern and Western Conference semis tonight right here on ESPN and the app. Our coverage of Rangers Hurricanes starts at 7 Eastern with the series tied at 2 games apiece, while the Battle of Alberta heads back to Calgary with the Oilers up 3-1. Coming up, big news from the NFL. Colin Kaepernick gets a tryout with the Raiders. Is this the first step towards an unprecedented comeback? And the Bucs are saying it's Super Bowl or bust, but can Tampa Tom win ring number 8 without his very, very favorite security blanket? We discuss on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Obi-Wan Kenobi. 2 episode premieres streaming this Friday only on Disney Plus. To the NFL now, where the Raiders brought in Colin Kaepernick for a workout behind closed doors yesterday, according to Adam Schefter. This marks Kaepernick's first NFL workout since 2017. He last played in the NFL in 2016 for the 49ers, the same year that he started kneeling to protest social injustice. Here's Raiders reporter Paul Gutierrez on SVP last night.
A lengthy afternoon indeed for Colin Kaepernick. A visit that lasted at least 5 hours, maybe as long as seven. He's left the facility. No signing. Nothing is imminent, I'm told. But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, how real is this interest? And when you look at it from the lens of the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, it's very real. It goes back to a conversation I had with him 2 years ago. We're talking social justice issues and things of that nature. And Colin Kaepernick's name came up. He told me then that since 2017, he had given his GMs and his coaches his blessing to go ahead and sign Colin Kaepernick. He wouldn't have an issue with it. Now, since then, neither Reggie McKenzie, Jack Del Rio, John Gruden, or Mike Mayock went ahead and took him up on his offer. But the fact that Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, the new regime here, brought him in for a workout, that speaks volumes.
For a reaction, Louis Riddick and Teddy Bruschi with us this morning. So, Louis, let's start with you. What did you make of what Paul had to say in terms of it telling you how seriously the Raiders are taking this workout?
Yeah, Hannah, you don't bring someone into your facility unless you are serious about trying to find out who the individual is authentically, both as a person and as a player, regardless of who it is. And I think in the case of Colin Kaepernick, obviously this is very, very, very significant because this is the first time someone has brought him into their facility and not just had a conversation with him, or there hasn't been just some workout at some random location where people are then invited to come and attend. This is serious in this regard. And look, I don't think we should be shocked. Considering what the history is of the Raiders franchise dating back to the days of the late, great Mr. Al Davis, this is the culture. We want to talk about culture in terms of professional sports teams. This is the culture of the Las Vegas Raiders. It's been as inclusive of an organization as there has been across any professional sports league. So this is what they do. If Mark Davis has said he has given the green light to the people in charge to make personnel decisions going all the way back to 2017, then you take him for his word. They just have decided that he has not been someone that they have been interested in. But I think now, because of their situation on the football field at the quarterback position behind Derek Carr, and because of the fact that people have said, look, Colin Kaepernick was not a distraction in any way whatsoever when he was last with the San Francisco 49ers, people are now more willing to go ahead and really seriously look at whether or not they want to bring him onto their team.
And just to button up what you just said about the culture, and you look at Al Davis, the first to hire a black head coach, the first to hire a female executive in Amy Trask, had a Hispanic head coach, the first ever to draft a black quarterback in the first round. So there is a lot of history there within the Raiders organization in that regard. Teddy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Lou's right, Hannah. I mean, this is, from a player perspective, this is very serious. Whenever players prospectively can play for a team, you know, you get calls, you get interest, but it gets serious once you get the individual workout, when teams want to see you by themselves in your hands and do the drills that are specific to what they want to see you do if you were to play on our team. You get to meet the higher-ups of the team, the head coach, possibly the position coach, whoever's there attending the workout. So this is a very big step for Colin Kaepernick to play in the NFL again, possibly for the Las Vegas Raiders. And it's a, you know, I'll say it's a first step, because if Colin did well in this workout, now Lewis knows this. Now they'll go back. Okay, we saw him do this. We know we can do this now. Everything else gets talked about then. Okay, can we handle this? Or we signed Colin Kaepernick. This is the effect of it, the trickle-down effect. So now, are we capable of doing this? It's a first step in a very long process.
But you're really talking about an unprecedented situation to be out of the league for 6 years and come back and play particularly at the position of quarterback, Lewis. What makes you believe that it's possible for Colin Kaepernick to do this?
Look, I haven't seen Colin throw personally, Hannah, so I don't know where he's at physically right now, but based on what we've seen on TV and the fact that this is a young man who says he has dedicated himself to keeping himself in a position physically to where he could come in and compete, again, I'm going to take him at his word for it, all right? And knowing what he last looked like in 2016, look, that skill set translates right now to 2022. And Josh McDaniels, as an offensive designer and an offensive play caller, knows exactly how to use a guy with Colin Kaepernick's skill set, provided that in this individual workout, it's at a level that he feels will benefit this football team. And let me just say this real quickly. Look, I think Colin Kaepernick did a great job of laying out what the effect would be on a team's bottom line if they were to bring him in, and what his effect has been on any other company's bottom line that has decided to associate themselves with him.
okay, whether that be Nike or whether that be jersey sales, that not necessarily the NFL so, you know, kind of partnered with, but when this all started back in 2016, we saw what the tangible effect was on business in terms of jersey sales. Then the amount of money that Nike pulled in when they partnered with him. So I don't think that now needs to be something that's talked about anymore. This is strictly about football and about whether or not people feel as though he can help their organization, as it should have been 6 years ago.
Yeah, he has spelled out very clearly how he would be an asset. Let's not forget, he actually played at the University of Nevada. Teddy, final thoughts in terms of what he would have to overcome, though, to actually play after this absence?
It's been a long time, Hannah. It's been a long time since Colin Kaepernick has taken a snap in the National Football League. And did he look that way in this workout? Like I said, it was the first step. But now, if it is possible that he can still possibly play after since 2016, we're talking in terms of NFL life. That's a long, long time. And I know it's a quarterback position. And I know that quarterbacks, you know, they have a longer shelf life, if you will. But this is something that is all-encompassing in terms of your organization and your team. I mean, Josh McDaniels, does he go to Derek Carr and say, hey, Derek, hey, man, we're thinking about doing this. Are you okay with this? Can you handle it? You know, those type of things. Josh, though, like Lewis is saying, has experience with so many different quarterbacks, from Tom Brady to Mac Jones to Cam Newton to Tim Tebow. And this is a sign of Josh McDaniels' maturity now as his second go-round, failing in Denver and then coming to Las Vegas and saying, you know what? I can handle this because I've learned from all my experiences. I know how I failed in the past, and this would not be a distraction with my team because I know how to handle it as a head coach now.
In a practical level, and you're both have referenced Josh McDaniels, and he has obviously Derek Carr is the incumbent. It's not like there's going to be any kind of quarterback controversy there. He also has Jarrett Stidham, who's very, very familiar with that offense, and they brought in Nick Mullen as well. In what kind of practical sense would he be used? What would the football upside be of having a Colin Kaepernick on your roster?
Well, I think the football upside definitely is
from a defensive
perspective. Go ahead, Teddy. Go ahead.
I mean, okay. And I'll just go from a defensive perspective. You're game planning against a Las Vegas Raiders team. Of course, you have Derek Carr, Davante Adams, those type of things. But then what do you think? Now I'm going to think, how can Josh McDaniels possibly use a Colin Kaepernick? And then do I need to prepare for that? Okay. And then Josh showing early on in the season that he's able, that he has the ability to use Colin in a package of plays, or is he just straight up a backup quarterback? Those type of things get defensive coordinators thinking. And then you got to talk about the red area, how he can, you know, use, I mean, Derek Carr isn't the most athletic quarterback where you get him on the edges and things like that. Colin Kaepernick can bring that. So if the big if is if Colin Kaepernick has that ability still and he shows that, I know that's the sky's the limit in terms of creativity for Josh McDaniels.
Lewis?
Yeah. Look, we're getting far down the road here, but that's cool because this is what this kind of thing really leads to. It allows you to go ahead and kind of, you know, and wonder what exactly would this look like tangibly. What would this look like on the football field? And look, Derek Carr is a high-level quarterback. Derek Carr is a top 10, top 12 type of quarterback. I don't know if you want to necessarily get into the business of taking him off the field, but if Colin Kaepernick is one of those guys, is one of those people that at this stage in his career can still provide you value, especially in situational football, as Teddy referred to, you know, red zone in particular, short yardage, maybe some two-minute situations running the football, you have to look into it if, in fact, he is a guy who they're going to wind up signing in the first place.
All right, we'll leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you. Coming up, Joel Embiid sent out a tweet about Jimmy Butler last night that has everybody in Philly freaking out. Pretty much everybody. Yep, we'll show it to you next on Get Up. And who does call the shots? The Patriots still figuring that out. Who exactly will their offensive play caller be? We go right to the source. Ask Teddy about it on the way.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. Hannah Storm, Pat Bev, Alan Hahn. Alan, jump in here, all right? Celtics Heat. Celtics really changed the tenor of this game in the third quarter. Jason Tatum heating up with a jumper over Jimmy Butler.
Tatum seemed to get everyone going. I mean, that's what a star player does. And in that second half, he took over. Look, the bodies on the floor. It's been the whole series like this. It's been a brutal series, a physical series. But the skill has been on the Celtics side of it, and Tatum has led the way.
Yeah, they really rebounded from a tough first half. Jaylen Brown especially hitting that one, and Boston takes its first double-digit lead of the night, finishes the quarter on a 10-0 run, and down the stretch, it's Tatum backing down Max Strus, who, ooh, he did not have a good game, but Tatum did 22 points, 12 rebounds, 9 dimes, now they're up.
Look out below!
Oh, that
was sweet. You got to foul. You got to take the foul there or take the charge there or just do a business decision and say, I'm not in this picture.
Which is exactly what happened. So the Celtics now have a chance to close this thing out at home, and you know it was tweeting from home. Joel Embiid, and he said Miami needs another star, someone in addition to his very good friend, Jimmy Butler. Do you think Joel is right? Does he need someone else?
I don't disagree. What we say back home where I'm from, he's not wrong. He is not wrong. Obviously, health does play a factor, but looking at this game, looking at the team,
so you think Bam, Kyle Lowry, I mean, these guys are getting paid like stars?
I mean, you see that, you know, you have to play them. You have to play your stars, two guys who are getting paid like stars. And Kyle Lowry's been coming up short. Obviously, it's a lot to do with rhythm. That's a lot to do with, inconsistency with being on the floor all the time. But, you know, you get paid all that money, man, you got to come out and produce. And, Kyle got to play better. He knows that.
Okay, so, I mean, Pat Riley has to go out and get somebody else. Do you think that's the key here? Is that what's holding Miami back?
That's what Joel is saying. Now.
No, I'm saying, what do you think?
Yeah, I do think. And, I mean, as much as Joel loved playing with Jimmy Butler and would probably love to have him back in Philadelphia,
sure,
now if you could rewind everything, I mean, the numbers tell you that that's been his best teammate. I mean, they actually were the best duo. Star duo in the 2019 playoffs. They had a plus 25 net rating on the floor together, which was better than KD and Steph. It was better than Kawhi and Kyle Lowry, who won a championship. It was better than everybody. So that's been his best. And you compare it to him and James Harden, it's a difference of 20 when it comes to net. They were minus 20 net compared to what he was with Jimmy. So you could see why he would say that. But yes, Bam Adebayo has had good numbers in the regular season, has not really performed in the playoffs. Tyler Hero got hurt. He was obviously sixth man of the year. Is it enough for Jimmy
Kyle
Butler
Lowry,
to win?
That's not, come on now. That's,
and he's 35 years old.
Kyle needs to play a little bit better, that's
right.
All.
Yeah. Right.
That's
yeah,
true, too.
Sure.
So
right.
Is it enough? No. And here's what, if I'm Pat Riley and I've got a good friend in Dwayne Wade somewhere as a sleeper cell in Utah, how much does Donovan Mitchell not want to be there? And how much can we make a deal with Utah and get him here? Because you talk about a guy that fits in the Heat culture, it'd be Donovan Mitchell. You talk about a guy that could fit with a Jimmy Butler, it'd be Donovan Mitchell. Like, that's the kind of player they've got to find, someone that can get to the same level that Jimmy Butler gets to when he's healthy. I'm not sure Bam. I'm not sure Tyler Hero. I'm not sure.
Wow. So Spider. Okay, that's one idea.
Alan,
who would you like to see?
Here's my one question. Vince wants to jump in.
My bad, Big.
No. I just want to say one thing.
Alan,
no, you're good, Pat. I just want to ask one question. Like, but bringing Donovan Mitchell in, you know, is that what you're looking for? I mean, I'm okay. When I say same type of player, he's an offensive threat, and so is. So is Jimmy Butler in the playoffs. So, mm-hmm. I feel like they need a bigger perimeter player that can score or a dominant big man. And I think Bam can be that, you know, to bring him along. And my other thing is we can't forget about Tyler Hero. I think he is a budding star. I mean, if he's healthy, he helps this team. He hasn't played great. Yes, Kyle hasn't played great. I agree with you, Pat. But I just think they need another guy. You're going to bring a superstar in. He has to fit what they have already.
You know, that's just my only thing I wanted to throw to the panel. Constructed, Vince, can win a title?
Everybody talked about them possibly winning leading up into the playoffs until they got hurt. That's all I'm saying. And
that was me.
That was definitely me for sure.
No.
I really thought they were. If they was healthy, I thought they were. And I love their coach. But it's something that happened. I don't know what game it was. I don't know what Coach Udon told them. But it's something happened in the locker room that they just turned the switch. If it was at 6, they turned that thing to 12. Mm. You know, like they just turned it all the way up.
Hey, Pat, athleticism happened. I think that, you know, not only can Boston defend, but they're more athletic. They have more athletes at every position as far as just what you need. Because right now, what Robert Williams is bringing to the table to complement Al Horford. Yeah. I mean, they just have everything at every position. They have grit. They have toughness. They have athletes. They have everything. And I think right now, Miami doesn't have enough, whether it's injury or just not showing up.
Yeah, but both teams are banged up in this series. Let's face it, they've both been dealing with major injuries. Is Jimmy Butler capable of being the best player on a championship team? He's come close, got to the finals.
Yes,
because he plays.
Because he plays both sides. He plays both sides of the game. He respects the game. He's disciplined when it comes to the game. So I have to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he can be as well, but it's going to take a supporting cast. Why Luka is down 3-1 in his series.
You know, he's down 3-1 because Steph Curry put the blue.
Well, there's that too. But,
okay.
And we'll get to that.
But
the point is that Luka is singular, right? Where Steph is plural,
that's true,
right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've learned in the NBA is that there's a one great player, and then it becomes you got to get him help. I mean, that's what Mark Cuban's got to fix the roof and get Luka some help.
No.
Well, Pat Riley's got to think about, have enough with Jimmy Butler, or do I have to find another player? And I agree with Vincent. Visa, you're right. Length would help. A wing guy would certainly help Jimmy Butler. When I was using Donovan Mitchell as an example, it's the type, because remember what Spo said, this ain't for everybody.
Okay.
So the type of player that they would need to get, there's a guy I would definitely look into, but completely agree. They're smaller compared to the Celtics, and it's definitely standing out.
Yeah, hardworking, gritty, tough, fitting into that culture. But as we all know, the last time the Heat won a championship, they did have more than one star, for
sure. They certainly did.
All right, we'll have game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics tomorrow night, 8:30, 5:30 Pacific on ESPN and the app, with the Celtics up 3-2, looking to close it out at the Garden. The countdown crew is going to get things started at 7:30. Now, down by the Bay tonight, the Warriors host the Mavs in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. Another chance to clinch a finals berth under Steve Kerr. Golden State is 8-1 in the conference playoffs with a chance to clinch at home. As we're back with Pat and Allen and Vince. Warriors have been fantastic clinching out a series at home. This would be their 6th finals in 8 years. Is this a foregone conclusion tonight, Pat?
Good night.
Bye-bye.
What they say, put the babies to sleep.
That's what Steph was saying, right?
It's too late. Put the babies to sleep, man. It's over with. I had the Warriors before. I have them now. I have them next round. They look more in condition. They look more in rhythm. They look more like they're into it. Like they want to make a statement, and they've been doing it.
Steph Curry, if he goes on to the finals, as Vegas has the Warriors as favorites, regardless of who comes out of the East. Let's say he wins another title. That would be number 4. What kind of company does that put him in potentially?
I mean, it moves him closer to LeBron James for this generation's greatest player. I don't know if he passes him because LeBron is just, he's the perfect player. If you were going to build a player, you build LeBron. 6'8", everything he can do. But Steph Curry is a generational player as well. And if he gets a 4th ring, that's as many as LeBron has. He gets to another finals too. This little mini dynasty, what they've built in Golden State is so enviable because Steph hasn't had to go anywhere and stars have come to play with him. So when do we start recognizing Steph's impact, not just as a player in the NBA, but on the sport? Walk into any CYO gym and watch what kids are doing. Watch what they're doing. They're trying to take those threes. I've seen a kid shoot a three and turn around, not watch it, miss the rim. Like, I've seen it, but it's just fun. This is what they do. So I do think it moves him closer to being the generational player that LeBron is. I know I'm not the player, so again, VC,
Pat, hey, man, yeah, am I out VC, of pocket? What do you think? I mean, if it's four rings, 4-4.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I agree with him. I think if he wins fourth, he's in the competition. I hate to compare. I just hate to compare. I think Steph is already there because of what he's done and how he does it and how he moves the game and how he's changed the game and how you guard a three-point line. Pat Bev, think about this. Prior to that, you coaches used to say, get back into the paint and build your way out. You don't say that when you play in the Golden State Warriors because of Steph and what he's done. And like Alan said, there's guys now who are shooting that shot consistently. I used to shoot the long three, but I didn't shoot it consistently at a high clip that he's done. Now, just if Steph is able to win his fourth and win MVP, he deserves to be in the conversation with some of the best, hands down. You know, it's not right. I think he's what he's done, what has been built there. And like you said, Hannah, star players have come to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't leave right to go play with somebody else. They're coming to play with him. And yes, and they flourished in him. And he's an unselfish superstar. He wants to win championships. It is not about, you know, how it happens. He wants to win. He was okay with KD coming to him because he was good with himself and what he can do and what they can do together. And of course, KD was able to win 2 finals MVPs, and Steph probably could have, or maybe should have won one.
Mm-hmm.
I know Iguodala won it, but yeah. So he probably could have had
Iggy,
one already.
You know,
going
listen,
for number
Iggy,
2.
Iggy was important, right? He came off the bench that
he
year.
Yes.
He really
defense
bought into everything
LeBron
that was happening, and you know what? I think it's great that he got that. All right, but see this at the bottom of your screen. It says, "How wide is the gap between Steph Curry and LeBron James?" That's
right.
What I want to know, Pat Bev. What
so
do you think?
That's good and clear, so the viewers understand. We're not comparing the guard Steph Curry against LeBron James. We're not comparing that. We're comparing their legacy.
It's a legacy.
We're comparing what they've done on the court with others to help win a championship. Is the gap
However
between Steph Curry how wide
it and
is
dice it?
It.
Right.
Man, they right there.
They're right there together.
You have to. He's changed the game. LeBron's changed the game. Of course, everyone knows that. He's changed the game for a 6'8", 6'9", guy to be able to do the stuff what he does with the ball you've never seen before. But what Steph Curry has done, like Alan mentioned on it, these guys are shooting threes and not looking anymore. I mean, that is that he has changed the game. He is
most
he's been changed
player
the game.
In the
I mean,
NBA, yeah.
He looks good doing it. The face is perfect. I mean, everything. I mean, he's the golden boy. Everyone knows that.
It just
works for him, and he got the basketball to back it up. It's right there.
Okay, so you're saying neck and neck. You're saying they are right on an even playing field if the Warriors win a fourth title.
I have to say yes.
All right.
And he is the nicest guy that everybody
right
likes.
There.
But the most disrespectful thing you can do is take a three, turn and face the other team's bench while it's still in the air and stare at them. And they go, good night. And go down the floor. And nobody's mad at him for
but
it.
Alan, and it goes in.
It drops.
Hey, Alan, but it goes in.
I know.
Exactly.
I know. Vince, I used to not look at my threes because I didn't want to see what was going to happen. I was just like, right. I don't know. It's going up, but I don't want to see it.
Vince, you put these guys on an even playing field, dead even then, with a fourth title?
I think they're – the word even, I don't know, but I think they're right there. I don't know who is above the other, but I think Steph Curry deserves to be in that conversation, like I said, of what he brings to the table, what he's done for the game. You know, like I said, players want to come play with Steph, like players would love to go play with LeBron James, and he's winning and he's dominating in playoffs. Comparing is just – using that word even is not fair to him. I just think Steph Curry deserves to be in that conversation.
Right.
All right. Well, I kind of like it because the whole conversation's been for years. MJ, LeBron, you know, let's put Steph in there. Let's put some other.
25, 5, and 5.
Yeah.
Postseason.
Yeah. Right.
Over 43% from the three.
That's right. But I still,
most
you know what, in the end,
efficient shooter
in
the history of the game.
The history of the game. Mm-hmm. We will have the record, and no one would ever beat the record.
Mm-hmm.
What? And to add championships with that. I mean, he has championships.
Yeah, well, if you're talking championships, MJ. There you go. All right, the Patriots still figuring out just who will be their offensive play caller this season. We asked former Patriot Teddy Bruschi. What the heck is going on there? What's Bill Belichick thinking? Only Teddy knows. Well, Teddy Bruschi is back with us, and it's time for Teddy Set Go. Oh, I love that animation. All right, Teddy, so what do you make of the Patriots yet to name an offensive play caller?
Yeah, Hannah, one thing Bill isn't big on, and that's titles. So he doesn't care who's named offensive coordinator or not. And another thing he knows is it's only May 26th. So he has a lot of time to decide this. I wouldn't be surprised if this goes run game coordinator / pass game coordinator with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, how that goes. But definitely, I hope the voice is consistent that Mac Jones goes to during a game.
All right, Kyler Murray is absent from the Cardinals OTAs. Is this a big deal?
I wouldn't say big deal. I would say this is the business of the NFL, a step-by-step process and how players express that they want more money and they want things done. Step one, unfollow on social media. Step two, don't show up. And that's what's happening now with Kyler. We'll see if he shows up when it gets mandatory, though. That's important.
All right, that's coming up next month. And Aaron Rodgers not at Packers OTA. Should he be there with the team and his new receivers?
Now, there's only a handful of quarterbacks. I mean, probably only like 3 or 4 that I would not be concerned with. And definitely to, in terms of getting chemistry and things like that, Aaron Rodgers is one of them. Just the best in the business on terms of getting on the same pages with the receivers. I'm not worried about this. Aaron knows how to do things, and he's probably learned a lot during the pandemic time in terms of how to get things done virtually. So there's a lot he can do still with getting on the same page with some of those young receivers, and I'm not worried a bit.
Ah, but Lewis Riddick, let's bring you in here. From your perspective, listen, this is a team that's going to have to move on from Devontae Adams. Lewis, not with us right now, so Teddy, let me go back to you. They're trying to move on from Devontae. Don't you think he should be there? I mean, he's got a rookie. They trade up to get Christian Watson. They have Sammy Watkins in the fold. I mean, certainly he and Randall Cobb have it down, but in that regard, don't you think it would benefit the team?
Yeah, it would help, but another aspect I also consider for the Green Bay Packers is you have a Jordan Love that possibly you want to get a lot of reps. And Aaron, do we need him throwing basic routes to all those young receivers you just mentioned, Hannah, the new receivers that are there, rather than to get on the same page with the rookie, I think it's second rounder that they drafted? It's like, okay, I want you to watch Devontae Adams on film. This is why I threw the ball to him. And then virtually, I got these 5 routes that I want to show you. And I'm going to do them with you, and we can have a meeting virtually. That's why I bring up the pandemic and what things that can be done virtually. And you can have a meeting with a receiver. You can have your film guys send a clip, a cut up, and you also can watch them quarterback receiver, how you get better, those type of things, rather than Aaron going out there and throwing a hitch route, throwing an out route when Jordan Love needs so many reps.
Okay. You've been at the Patriots, so you understand the inner workings. You understand a bit about how Bill Belichick thinks. Now, while the rest of us are completely confounded as to what's happening here with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, you've got this second-year quarterback who could make a huge leap again this season and not naming an offensive play caller. How is this going down? Because the word yesterday out of Foxborough was that Belichick was calling all the offensive plays in OTAs.
Well, I'll give you one guarantee. The plan is always Bill Belichick's, and I don't care if it was Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels, or whoever the offensive coordinator is. Those meetings that they constantly have, and they're going over the plan on how to attack a defense or how to develop a player and what he wants done. The plan is always his. So how he now you know, deflects that type of responsibility. Like I said a second ago, whether it's run game coordinator to pass game coordinator, who has those responsibilities? Is Patricia the run game? Is Judge the passing game? But this is what has to be done. And I think Bill knows this by the time the season starts. The voice Mac has, okay, in his ear during games, in the communication, who he talks to during the sideline or at halftime, those type of adjustments, that relationship and that voice is consistent. And it's not, it's Matty P 1 week, then it's Joe Judge the other week, and then it's Bill one other week. I mean, you don't want to confuse that way, because the quarterback sort of offensive coordinator relationship still is very, very important in terms of rapport and knowing each other's thoughts. So that's what I hope gets worked out before the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, before the season starts, let's hope so. Lewis, do you have any concerns about what you're saying?
Yeah, look, I'm always going to give Bill the benefit of the doubt, all right? And people know that. People know, like, just like Teddy, I have a history with Bill that, you know, that really has resulted in me always giving him the benefit of the doubt, because he's one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach of all time. But this is a very crucial year for Mac Jones. And I know that, look, right now Bill is saying, look, what do I need to worry about? Calling OTA plays? I mean, what's the big deal here? Well, you know, he's basically saying, look, just be quiet. I'll have it figured out by the time the regular season starts. Well, maybe you do. Maybe it does. Maybe it is consistent in terms of the voice, as Teddy's talking about, that's in Mac's ear. And maybe that rapport is built by then. But you know what I worry about, quite honestly? I worry about the level of competency here. Josh McDaniels is a certified play caller in the NFL that has taken many quarterbacks to a high level performance. I don't know that Joe Judge has ever done that for quarterbacks. I don't know that Matt Patricia's ever done that for quarterbacks. They may be great coaches, special teams, linebacker, defensive coordinator, but we're talking about quarterback, man. We're talking about a second-year player that was drafted in the first round that is still developing. That's a lot to put on those coaches, and it's a lot to ask Mac Jones to continue his development with people who aren't proven in the way that Josh McDaniels was. I hope they do have it figured out for Mac's sake and for the Patriots' sake.
Sooner rather than later. Yeah, Judge, special teams, Patricia, known for defense, both former head coaches. And then you have Mac Jones trying to adjust to the departure of McDaniels. All right, coming up, just where is Lamar Jackson, the superstar quarterback, absent from OTAs, not talking to the team? What does it all mean? We discuss when we come back on Get Up.